You are tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And in the studio with us today, it is in the United States, the third full week of February is called National Engineers Week. It's observed by more than 70 engineering, educational, and cultural societies, more than 50 corporations and government agencies. And the purpose of National Engineers Week is to call attention to the contributions to society that engineers make. And, of course, it's also a time for engineers to emphasize the importance of learning math and science and technical skills. And that is why we are celebrating engineers on the Children's Hour today. And with us is the only engineer in United States Congress, United States Senator Martin Heinrich. Good morning.
It's great to be here, Katie.
Oh, it's fantastic to have you here. Martin Heinrich, you are the junior United States Senator for the state of New Mexico. You were elected in 2012. You serve on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources, Intelligence, and Joint Economic Committees. You are the only engineer in the United States Senate, which brings you a very unique perspective. How? Why?
We'd love to have a bigger engineering caucus in the Senate, obviously. But I think one of the things that it really helps me bring to the table is a problem-solving approach that is outcomes-based and sort of data-driven. And I think most Americans would agree that that's something we could use a lot more of in Washington, D.C.
Well, I was thinking about you and thinking from your point of view, where you probably look at problems and you think about how can we solve these problems. It must be really hard right now in Congress because you have a lot of people whose goal is not to solve problems that are your peers. They're hoping to obstruct solving problems. That must be so frustrating for you.
It can be incredibly frustrating, but there are also a lot of people who want to get things done on mm-hmm. both sides of the aisle. And that tension is really what defines whether I have a good week or a bad week, depending on who seems to be in charge of the agenda, the obstructionists or the problem solvers.
Mm. And if there were more engineers like you, people would think logically about our nation's problems.
I think it helps. It certainly does. There were maybe four or five of us in the House of Representatives, and having one in the Senate, if you look around the world, in most legislative bodies in other countries that are our competitors have a lot of engineers in their government, and that's something we ought to change.
What kind of engineer are you?
Mechanical engineer by training.
Okay, so, all right.
Like moving parts, thermodynamics.
Moving parts and thermodynamics. Wow.
So, I have a question. What kind of toys did you build with when you were a kid?
So when I was a kid, one of the things that really got me interested in science and engineering, my father was an electrician, and he actually taught at the local 4-H club electricity courses. And he got me interested in making things, and we ended up making electric motors that we built, you know, with nails and wire and just from scratch, and telegraph machines and all kinds of different things that got me thinking about science. And my first grade teacher actually was a woman named Mrs. Taylor, who just did an incredible job getting me more engaged in science and seeing that maybe my future was in science.
See, this is why it's so important to expose kids to science and different science concepts at young ages, because studies show, and I want to know how the crew here feels, studies show that kids tend to know what they want to do for a living, like as a career, by the time they're 10. That they get a pretty, Anna, you're going, I know, okay, let's hear
it. I want to be a comedic actress when I grow up.
See, because look, you've been exposed to comedy, right? And you know that that exists. But if you didn't know there was such a thing as a mechanical engineer, would you even know you wanted to do that? Yeah, Julia.
I want to be a balloon pilot and have a farm.
All right. See? And I know Eli, you know what you want to do. And you've known for a really, really long time. Eli Stone, what do you want?
I've always liked physics, and that's where I want to get into when I grow up.
How about Noah and Eli behind me? You all know what you want to do when you grow up? Because they say kids know by the time they're 10. Now, not every kid knows exactly what you want to do, but you kind of gain your interest. You know your field, maybe. What interests you?
It's a little different for me. I don't know exactly what field I want to go into or what I want to do, but right now I really like the idea of being a history professor at a university.
Wow. And what about you, Noah? Do you know yet?
I want to go into architecture.
See? Oh, I didn't hear you. Say that?
My dad could give you classes.
Yeah.
He's an architect.
Do you know what you want to do, Miel, when you grow up?
I want to be a baker.
Oh, see? So did you know when you were a kid you wanted to be an engineer? You wanted to keep building things and making things?
I did. I knew I wanted to be involved in science, and I wasn't sure what field. And it was really in high school where I started looking at engineering and enjoyed the hands-on aspects of that. When I went to college, I got involved in a group of us that got together and built a solar car that we raced across the United States. And that experience of not only seeing how renewable energy works and how important efficiency is, but bringing together a whole bunch of different engineering students with different skills to build one thing that worked for all of us was a really exciting experience for me.
So, Senator Heinrich, you're a lifelong advocate for technology, innovation, and clean energy. I know Eli has some questions for you on that.
Yeah, no, I was just curious. What are your thoughts on how New Mexico should, like, solve energy in the future? Like, how do you think we should get our power as prices of solar come down and down and other renewable energies are becoming more and more viable? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And in fact, I've had solar grid-tied system on my house here in Albuquerque for, almost 10 years now. And the price for when I put that in place versus now is amazingly different. The price just keeps coming down, so much so that I was talking to some folks at PNM the other day who said in their work to look at additional generation, solar was so cost competitive that they're going to be adding a big increment of solar to their generation. And I think we need to continue that progress. One of our challenges in New Mexico, we have so much sun and so much wind, but it's sort of stranded in the middle of the country. Getting it to market to other places that need additional power and want clean power requires some creative work in terms of making sure we can get the transmission in place to send that energy around the country.
Yeah, I think that's really, Eli, you've talked about you wanting to come up with some way that we can store our solar and in an effective way. And there's so much great solar innovation here at Sandia National Labs that has really changed the game of solar in the world. And I don't know how much people are aware of that, that we here in New Mexico have had a huge impact on the international solar industry. But now we know that countries like Germany are getting 30-40% of their electricity from solar electricity. It doesn't seem like we have to reinvent the wheel entirely.
Well, and we have some real pioneers here in New Mexico. In the architecture field, for example, Ed Masseria, who sort of wrote the passive solar book years and years ago. And at Sandia, we've got this amazing test facility dealing with molten salt, which is a way to store solar power for when the sun goes down.
That's so cool. And you're working on all that in Congress. And when you're in Congress, I want to just give you some, so folks know, you are an avid outdoorsman, and you can tell you're a fit guy. You climb mountains and you do things like hunt and things like that, but you really love to hike. And you've done some amazing work while you've been in Congress, because before you were a senator, of course, you were in our House of Representatives. And in fact, in 2009, if I can say, Senator Heinrich, Representative Heinrich, he was ranked number one on the Hill's Most Beautiful People list.
It's a very low bar in Washington, D.C.
I don't think so. I keep waiting for you. That picture that they posted of you, you look just like Superman in that picture. I tell you, it's like we're waiting for you to like take the cape out, dude.
Photoshop is amazing technology.
I should also give a shout out to your beautiful and lovely wife, also very invested in our community, Julie Heinrich, and you're the father of two of our KUNM Kid Birthday Club members. Shout out to Carter and Micah. Hello. But you've done amazing things for the state of New Mexico and for the country when it comes to preserving natural landscapes. Tell us a little bit about some of your efforts.
Well, we were really excited earlier this year to see the creation of the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument in Taos County, north central New Mexico, really preserving the Rio Grande Gorge and that country around it for our kids and our grandkids, preserving the cultural uses of that land and making sure that incredible view when you drive up out of the gorge or out of the valley and get to the Taos Valley and you see that beautiful landscape that can't be replicated anywhere else in the world, that it's always going to be that way. And we're trying to do that as well with an area called the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks, which are the mountains around Las Cruces and in Doñana County.
And when you save up land like that, what happens? What happens to that? So now what can't happen on those lands and what can happen?
For example, up in the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument, you couldn't have a gravel mine or you couldn't have oil and gas development within that national monument. But traditional uses like hunting and fishing that have gone on there for really eons are uses that will continue. And, you know, we have a lot of outfitter guides and people in the state who make their living off those outdoor lands. Mm-hmm. 68,000 people in the state of New Mexico make their living off of the recreation that happens at those places.
68,000
people. It's an enormous figure, and it's distributed all over the state and in small towns. And so we don't think of it like we think of other economic sectors, but it's one of the biggest economic inputs into the whole New Mexico state economy.
And of course, it fits so well with our natural history of being the home of Aldo Leopold and some of the forefounders of having public lands. Because, you know, the first public...
The first wilderness area in the country, the Gila, was right here in New Mexico. The first BLM area in the country, the Bisti, here in New Mexico. And we, you know, we have this history of conservationists in the Senate. Clinton P. Anderson, who was the senator from New Mexico for some time, actually shepherded the Wilderness Act through the Senate, managed the bill on the floor, helped create the first wilderness areas. Jeff Bingaman did enormous work on Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks before I took his seat in 2012. So it's a long history of preserving our special places and our special culture here.
Yeah, go ahead, Eli.
Okay. I had we're in class right now. We're doing some stuff on water and water conservation and what we can do about the drought and what are the solutions and what are the problems. And so I was wondering what you're thinking we could do to help get us back on track where our water is concerned.
I think we need to do a lot more water planning. We're going to have to find ways to divvy up what we have, not what we want to have, but what we actually get in these difficult drought years. And that requires a lot more stakeholder water planning. It requires a lot of negotiations in some of these basins that, like the James River or the Rio Grande and others that produce our water. It's incredibly important that we protect the upper watersheds. Places like Columbine Hondo up in Taos County is a proposed wilderness area that protects an important watershed that contributes its snowpack to the Rio Grande. And we're going to have to conserve a whole lot more. The easiest quote-unquote new water that we can find is the water that we don't use. And conservation is usually the thing that you need to do first.
Mm-hmm. We have with us in the studio here on the Children's Hour United States Senator Martin Heinrich, and so delighted that you're here with us on the Children's Hour. Thank you so much for taking time out, celebrating National Engineers Week with us. Why should kids study sciences and engineering, and what can kids do now who are listening to, you know, you've shown us that an engineer can get to any position ever, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I don't work as an engineer in my day job now, but I bring those skills all the time to all kinds of different problems. And I think it's important for kids to know that they can be an engineer, that, you know, a fifth grade girl going to school here in Albuquerque can grow up to be a chemical engineer. You know, that's really important because those are the jobs of the future. If you stick with it and you invest your time to make sure that your math skills are good and your science skills are good, there is no field that is brighter than science, technology, engineering, and math.
Yeah, Anna.
How does being a senator and being an engineer mix?
Sometimes they mix well and sometimes not so well. You know, they're very, I think, different ways of approaching things. And being an engineer, you start from a problem and then you try to solve back out the solution to that problem. In the Senate, there's a lot of process. And so outcomes and process are not mutually exclusive, but they're different ways of getting to issues. So I just try to bring some scientific perspective to my colleagues who can be, you know, doctors or attorneys or business people about the science. And one of the things I think it really worries me in this country is that in our history, we've always been able to agree with what the facts are. You know, what are the facts? And then we work towards a policy that helps recognize that. Today, there are a lot of folks who don't accept some of the scientific facts that we need to address to be able to make good policy. And I think climate change is a perfect example of that. Climate change is real. We're struggling with it every year now here in New Mexico with our fires and our droughts and less water. We need to recognize that and work through to some creative solutions.
Well, I do want to put out an appeal for you, Senator Heinrich, that we don't have mandated science instruction in the state of New Mexico until sixth grade. And I really feel like if we had a federal push that just said every child in elementary school will have a science education, I really think we could make a big difference.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And the No Child Left Behind legislation that was passed a number of years ago had a number of issues and problems, but to me, centrally, it did not focus on science at the elementary level, and that's when you engage kids and get them interested and put them on that path to becoming an engineer or a scientist.
That's right, and that's why in our studio today we have folks from Explora and from the Fractal Foundation, and we're going to tell you more about how you can get engaged with science, all of the pieces of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, all over the state of New Mexico. There are avenues for you, even though right now, if your student is in elementary school, or if you are an elementary schooler and your teacher is teaching you science, that teacher deserves a flower or a cookie or a card thanking her or him for doing that for you, because they aren't required to do that for you. And so I think it's fantastic. I want to give a shout out to all the teachers who go the extra mile and include science curriculum in your classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're helping us make new senators, like Senator Heinrich. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners and our kids? I know you have to get up to somewhere else in New Mexico, and you're a busy guy. And
you know, I would just say to all the parents who are listening with their kids out there, find a way to get to allow your kids to have some hands-on access to science. And Explora is a great example of that. My wife, Julie, used to be on the board at Explora. We love that. I mean, when my boys go to Explora, you can't get them back out the door. It is
thankfully, it really closes difficult. Eventually,
exactly.
And they kick you out.
And it's places like that where you can have some accessibility and it becomes real that kids get excited. And then they say, well, what can I do with these skills? Or what should I be doing now so that I get to be what I want to be when I grow up?
Senator Martin Heinrich, he represents the entire state of New Mexico on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and all of us here in the studio for being with us on the Children's Hour this morning. And you're our favorite engineer and certainly our favorite in Congress. So
it's so good to be here. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you.